And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. Hey, we've got some secrets for you today. And man, we're going to reveal some of these things to you. Hey, somebody interesting is getting a bunch of taser guns. You better watch where you go nowadays. People are going to be after you with those tasers, and you'll be one of those hollering out, "Don't tase me, bro." Well, Henry McCow, Dr. Henry McCow, a man whose writings I respect a great deal, says that our leaders are sex addicts. Sex addicts? That's an addiction that our leaders have. Well, we'll see. Hey, one of these Zionist neocons says our goal is world conquest. He's written a book now. He's going for the jugular. We've got to destroy things in order to rebuild. I've heard that before. Creative destruction. We'll be talking about him. And then, believe it or not, according to a San Francisco newspaper, a congressman down in California, over in California, I should say, has written an article. He's co-written an article saying that America, our government, has secret concentration camps, and they're going to put a lot of people into them. Well, we talked about that here at Power Prophecy on my video and DVD, Gulag USA. American Gulags. We'll want to tell you about that during the break and how to get a copy of our video on Gulag USA. I believe that's the formal title, isn't it, Jerry? Jerry Barrett's here today, Gulag USA, and we'll tell you about that incredible video during the break, at the halftime, let's just call it, here of the program. Jerry's with us today, Jerry Barrett. Most of the time, Sandra Myers is at our board over there, making sure our program goes off okay. Jerry Barrett's been sitting in. I appreciate that. He's really our manager for all of our list and our emails and things, and takes care of our web pages, does a tremendous job. If you've gone into powerofprophecy.com, you'll see, dozens of articles. You could just read for days. Free articles you can read on our website, powerofprophecy.com. Jerry's responsible for all that, so blame him. No, don't blame him for anything, but give him credit, okay? For the websites. He does just a fantastic job. And we have a lot of videos, too. Go in there and click on the little bitty screen that has like a TV screen, and it'll take you to the video site. And there's all the titles of that. So we have a lot of free videos you can watch, free articles. And then we have our own catalog items, you know, our own things we offer to you. And if you'll look on that, you won't see very much that's on the, let's just say, the Barnes & Noble or Borders books bestseller list. And that's because we don't offer what other people offer. The things we offer, usually you can't even get at a bookstore. They're like banned books. Shh. Don't tell anybody. We offer books that, I mean, people are furious because we have the audacity to offer a book that might give you something other than the conventional wisdom. In other words, they don't want you to know the truth. Well, let's go on. We're going to talk about some other things today. Is there proof that we are a psychopathic society? Boy, I think so. New book has come out saying human sacrifice may be a good idea. Human sacrifice might just be okie dokie. Yeah, unless you're the one being sacrificed, I assume. Mayor Bloomberg, a lot of people are saying that New York's Mayor Bloomberg, and just look at the guy, and I mean, Liberace had nothing on this dude, but he wants to be president of the United States, and some people are saying maybe he ought to run and they'd vote for him. Mayor Bloomberg of New York City. You know, I shouldn't say it, but any politician that comes out of New York City, I mean, that can't be good. That cannot be good. Well, we've got so much to tell you about. Let's just get right into it today and see these secrets that we've got. The U.S. Forest Service has purchased $600,000 worth of tasers. Well, they say they need them because they're already in debt and understaffed, and it's going to help them in their law enforcement. Now, I don't quite get this. What do they do for law enforcement? Okay, you're not supposed to have a campfire in a certain area, and they see you over there roasting a weenie or marshmallows. They might just walk up and say, here, take this, zap. No more marshmallow roasting for you, fella. If you go down some path and you didn't read the sign that said don't walk this way, why, they can just jump out from behind a tree and whack you with their taser. And they can love doing it. They've never had that much authority. They used to be friendly people. You know, they were the ones that put up the little signs, you know, with a bear saying don't start forest fires. Now they got these taser guns and they're walking around just lusting after someone to hurt and give pain to. And you know, that's true in every government agency today. I mean, it is. I mean, you go to the IRS, they say, bring in your records. We want to audit you. So you bring in your records and you say, I don't like what you're doing. The guy reaches in a drawer, pulls out a taser gun and tasers you. You're at the airport. Your plane is late. In fact, it's the third in a row and you say, hey, I'm upset about this. They say, sir, go sit down and be quiet like a good little monkey. And if you're not, well, we'll pull our taser gun out and zap, they'll get you. Who gave all these people the authority to carry around taser guns and go around shocking people? Well, the government. Big brother government. Oh, my goodness. And U.S. Forest Service Director John Twiss, I think it's misspelled. It really ought to be Twit, T-W-I-T, but they spell it T-W-I-S-S. He issued a statement. We're doing this in the interest of customer service. Ah, yes. Pretty soon, friends, they'll probably do this at Walmart and Target. You know, you go there to buy something and you return it because you don't like it, and they'll take out their taser gun and zap you. I don't. Customer service! We are going into an insane phase with the psychopaths in charge. This is the cuckoo's nest, friend. And you're not going to be allowed to fly over it. Well, according to Henry McCow, new article he wrote, the world is full of leaders who are sex addicts. He has pictures of George Bush's boyfriend, Jeff Gannon. You may not know Jeff Gannon, but the folks in the Washington Beltway, they know him. He had a website in which he advertised his services to other gay men. It was called HotStuds.com. And you know, it appears that somebody who lives in the residence at the White House used his services scores of times because curious people who just wanted to know found out that Mr. Gannon was signed in and out in the wee hours of the morning. Now, you know, there's only one group or one family who lives at the White House. And I think it's a woman named Laura and a guy named George W. So Jeff Gannon, he wasn't servicing Laura because he's a gay man. The hot stud was servicing somebody else. And who do you think that is? Yes, he's a sex addict. And by the way, somebody asked me not too long ago, they said, hey, Tex, why do you think the Illuminati have turned against Hillary? Why is it that Barack Obama suddenly got so popular? Well, you see, it had to do with an incident that occurred in 2002. Hillary was going strong. And Bill and she had been promised, you will be president. But he did something that was just not proper. Now, the elite wanted to punish Bill, and they didn't have a taser gun to shoot him with, but they did something else. They decided Hillary would have some real opposition. And so they gave us Barack Obama. Why would they do it? What did Bill do to make the elite mad? Let me explain this to you. Later on, I'm going to give it to you in more in depth because we're going to, I want to tell you some more things about Barack Obama. And contrary to what some say, he is not the Messiah, but a lot of women and others who are fainting at his meetings, they think so. It's interesting that in 2002, and by the way, if you don't believe this, it's okay. I mean, you don't hurt my feelings. I mean, I spend 16 hours a day researching, investigating, and I'm going to give credit to God. God is very good to me in telling me where to go, who to talk to, what to look for, and I just report it to you. I'm not the bad guy. I'm just telling you what the truth is. You see, Bill didn't stop his philandering and his messing around after he left the White House. Actually, he's escalated it. It's given him the freedom without all the cameras watching to go out and molest more women. And he's been very busy doing that. And Hillary, you know, she's been busy with her girlfriends. She hasn't had the time or the inclination to worry about it. There was a particular woman in New York named Lisa Belzberg. Now, if you want to check this out on the internet, her name is spelled B-E-L-Z-B-E-R-G. She's Jewish. She was 38 in 2002. When this occurred, what occurred? Well, you see, let me tell you a little bit about Lisa Belzberg. She's very rich. She was married, and I say was married, at the time, to a man named Matthew Bronfman, one of the richest men in the world. The Bronfmans of Canada are the owners of the largest whiskey and liquor company in the world, manufacturer Seagram's Distilleries. But that's not all. They own Time Warner Cable and Paramount Studios and Universal. I mean, it goes on and on. Edgar Bronfman Jr. is constantly in the news. He owns record companies, Hollywood studios, etc. And his father is Edgar Bronfman Sr., who was head of the World Jewish Congress until recently. And they live in New York City now. They have several fancy condos, you know, worth $50 or $150 million. Once you get past a few million, I sort of lose track in the real estate value world. Although, according to what I Googled up, he recently sold a condo, Edgar Bronfman Jr., of the Bronfman Illuminati dynasty. He bought it for $24 million and sold it for $56 million in 2 months. Now, what kind of deal is that, huh? A condo. Of course, who would buy one for $56 million? I'm talking something that was only like 2,000 square feet in Manhattan. Well, in any case, Lisa Belzberg took a little liking to Bill Clinton, and they began having their weekly and more tete-a-tetes. See, Bill Clinton has offices paid for by you and me in Harlem. In Harlem. In New York City. And Lisa Belzberg's limo and her chauffeur would bring her there regularly to see old Bill, and they got a little thing going. And by the way, she didn't really have a job, but you know, when you're a billionaire's wife, you volunteer. And so she's head of some group in New York called Pencil that's to help ghetto youths in their education programs. I'm sure she does a very fine, magnificent service in that when she shows up. Anyway, Lisa Belzberg, this Jewish wife of Matthew Bronfman, one of the richest men in the world, one of the Illuminati chieftains, began to have an affair with Bill Clinton. It only lasted about 7 or 8 weeks. And Bill Clinton bragged to some of his friends, and that's where the trouble got going. They asked him about Lisa and, you know, him getting it on. And Bill said, quote, "Isn't it strange? She is pretty and she's got all the money in the world, but she's got a hankering for me. She's got a hankering for me. She could have anybody she wanted. She's so rich, but she lacks me." Ha ha ha. And that got back to Matthew Bronfman, and he didn't like it that Bill Clinton was saying that those things about his wife. And he filed for divorce from Lisa Belzberg, and they got divorced. In fact, just this last year, Matthew Bronfman got married again. Lisa now, as far as I know, is single. Bill Clinton and she broke up after that. Bill Clinton, evidently, if the story I'm getting is correct, is the reason that they broke up. Now, you don't mess around with a Bronfman wife, and Bronfman was into with a Jewish and Italian mafia and all those things, and bootlegging and all that way back in the 30s. I mean, he's made much bigger than Al Capone. You don't mess with those kind of folks. And every month in New York, let me tell you another little secret. There is a group that meets called MEGA. That means big, of course. But it's also because they are mega bucks. The 10 richest Jews in the world meet in a penthouse apartment owned by Edgar Bronfman, and they meet and they decide the fate of the United States and the entire world. Did you hear what I just told you? This is a secret that you won't hear anywhere else. The 10 richest Jewish Illuminati in the world meet once a month and decide what America's policies will be, what Israel will do and won't do, and the fate of the entire world. 10 Jews who meet in a penthouse apartment once each month, and they call them MEGA. And they met and they said, Bill Clinton has done the unspeakable. He has had an affair with one of our wives. Matthew. Matthew, by the way, is not only one of the Bronfmans, he's one of the richer ones. He just bought up the third biggest bank in Israel. He owns a number of other corporations. And he was quite upset about what Bill did and what Bill said. And I believe it was that moment they said, we've got to have a replacement. Hillary may not get our vote. Even though Hillary complained and said, it wasn't me, I didn't do it. It was Bill. Nevertheless, that's when Obama suddenly came out of nowhere to become senator, to become a presidential candidate. And there are the things that I'm going to be telling you about the Illuminati's secret plan for Africa. And that's one of the reasons why Obama has been promoted. A secret plan for Africa. Now, here's another secret for you. Right before he left office, on the orders of MEGA, this group that meets in New York City, Bill Clinton went to Africa and made arrangements for some things that are going to be coming up in the future in Africa. And just recently, George W. Bush, even as American economy is collapsing and people can't pay their mortgages and hundreds of thousands are being thrown out of their homes with these mortgage foreclosures and the dollar is falling like a rock on world markets as compared to the yen and the euro and the Canadian dollar and so forth. And as the stock market is collapsing and gold is going up to $1,000 an ounce because nobody trusts in the American economy, as all of these things are happening, George W. Bush goes over to Africa, plays around and does a little dancing with the locals. What's he doing over there? He was told to go by MEGA. MEGA said, George W., go over there and make some deals and set up some things for us. And by the way, before you go, get with your Pentagon Defense Department and set up an African command. Now, but America doesn't have any troops other than a few attachés, military attachés and such. We don't have any troops in Africa. We ain't, excuse my East Texas dialect, but we ain't got no dogs in that hunt in Africa. Now, those European colonial nations, they did before, but now the Africans run Africa. Remember, Nelson Mandela was one of the last to take office down in South Africa, and they kicked out the whites that ran the country, and now they have 40 times the rape crimes that America has, 40 times, and there's 160 times as many murders in South Africa as there is in America. 160 times as many murders. It's because Nelson Mandela, a communist, was placed in power. And now his replacement, a communist, is in power. And communists don't mind people being killed and raped and tortured And that's what this nation has become. They can't even take the gold out of their mines anymore. The mines are breaking down after the blacks have been in charge for 20 years. They're incompetent. They didn't know what they're doing. They kicked out the whites, and except the money. The money keeps coming in. Now you say, well, they won't let the gold mines go down. Well, of course. Don't you get it? The more environmentalists close up oil fields and don't allow drilling to be done in the oceans, guess what? The higher prices go of oil. The more you're going to get for the oil you have. Exxon loves environmentalism. Don't think they don't. Why do you think they're sponsoring those commercials saying we believe in going green? Of course they do. It's more money for them. The less they're allowed to drill, the more the oil they bring up. I mean, anybody can tell you that. If you were a furniture dealer, you would like for there to be a shortage of couches and sofas. Then you could triple how much money you're going to charge for them. Somebody says, well, that's too much to pay for that sofa. Yeah, we'll go get it somewhere else. They're not making them anymore. The environmentalists won't let them. You know, the leather or something on the, we can't make these anymore. You'll have to pay three times as much. That's the way it goes. Africa has all that oil. Africa has gold, platinum, tin, helium, silver. And the blacks run the countries, but guess who runs all the corporations? Mandela and the blacks may run South Africa's government, but who do you think has the diamond mine? It's a Jewish man named Oppenheimer. You have to understand the way the world works. It's De Beers. It's Oppenheimer. They got the gold and the diamonds. And if the mines break down, then not so much gold and diamonds come out of those mines, and then they're going to have to triple the price. Quadruple. Tenfold it. So, are these not incredible secrets? Mega African command. By the way, George Bush was asked about that by the African press, what little free press they have. Isn't it true that your Pentagon has just established an African military command? Why is that? Are you planning on sending troops to Africa? Ho, 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 says the moron. Mr. Bush, why no? Who gave you that idea? Ha, ha, ha. But the fact is, there is. My military contacts tell me, Tex Mars, for the first time in American history, we have an African command. African command. We're getting ready. There's going to be some military bases going in. It's not just the Middle East. It's not just Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Iran. No, 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 no. That's a lot of oil there, but there's oil down in Nigeria and all these other places. There's gold, there's diamonds, there's tin, there's silver, and it goes on and on, beryllium and all kind of different minerals in Africa. And we can't let those blacks have it. Why? The colonialists didn't, and the Illuminati are the colonialists. So let them be the people that run the government, and they can be big, big shots. And they can go to the United Nations and make speeches wearing their robes and their funny-looking little hats. But the CEOs and the corporations, they'll be Illuminati Jews. That's the way it is. And to make sure that those blacks don't complain too much, well, we're going to have an African military command, and there's going to be American military troops there. But we're going to do it because we don't want to see another genocide like happened several, 15 years ago? Remember that? Oh, those poor, and it was horrible. It was horrible. So we'll have to do it. You Americans will have to send military. Mark my word, within a decade, we will have hundreds of thousands of American troops in Africa. That's why we have an African command. And these American troops will make Africa safe for the magnates and moguls who own the diamonds and the gold and all the other things and the oil. just like we're making Iraq and Afghanistan safe for the corporations who own the oil, but not for the American troops who go and bleed and die. War is a racket, said Marine Major General Smedley Butler about 1940. He wrote a book about it. I recommend that book to your friends. Okay. All this has to do, doesn't it, with world conquest. And before you can own Africa, you've got to break it down first. You've got to deconstruct it. Destabilize. That's the name of the game. That's what they're doing in Iraq. If you really believe Al-Qaeda is in Iraq, I have some swamp land in East Texas I'd like to sell you. A lot of mosquitoes, a lot of crocodiles there. You won't sleep at night on that swamp land because there's a lot of water moccasins, snakes too. And they bite and they kill. I'm going to give you a good deal on it though. If you're that silly that you go along with that. Creative destruction is our middle name. Who said that? Jewish neocon Michael Ledeen. He's a CIA guy. I believe he's being funded by the CIA. That's my opinion from what I've been able to discover. He's got a new book called The War Against the Terrorist. I think he was paid to do that book. Michael Ledeen. If you want to know what they're planning, get his book, The War Against the Terrorist, by Michael Ledeen, L-E-D-E-E-N. He said, first and foremost, we must bring down the terror regimes, beginning with Iran, Iraq, and Syria. We have to ensure the fulfillment of the, get this, revolution. The fulfillment of the what? The revolution. We do not want stability in Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, or even Saudi Arabia. Things must change. The real issue is how to destabilize. That's why Iraq will never have democracy. That's why Iraq will never again, for 100 years, as John McCain said, it will need American troops because there will never be a legitimate government. They will always be fighting and killing each other because, according to the Hegelian dialectic concept, we will fund and sponsor both sides. Are you a Sunni Muslim? Here, we have money and arms and bombs to give you. If you're the opponent, you know, the Shiite Muslims, well, we've got the same thing to give you. And pretty soon you're fighting and killing each other. You're destabilized. And we will be your savior. We will referee the two groups. Oh, yes. We'll be right there with our 14 United States military bases for the next 100 years while the destabilization process is going on. And all the time, our psychopathic leaders will be wringing their hands. Oh, if only we could have peace. Oh, if only American troops weren't being killed. Oh, but we've got to have them there. We've got to try to stabilize this country. Now, Michael Ledeen, in his book, The Zionist Neocon, says what we must have is creative destruction. And I want you to understand that. Not destruction, not just destroying, but it's got to be creative. Creative. And he said it's got to be done throughout society. That means the whole world. From business to science, literature, art, military things, architecture, cinema, law. There must be a whirlwind of energy. We must advance our historic mission, the New World Order. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and we're going to be back with some more secrets in just a minute. We'll find out about this creative destruction, and according to a former congressman, they really are building concentration camps in America, and your name might be on a list to be picked up under extraordinary rendition and take him there. Stay with us. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, we had a video that we did a while back, and it is more timely than ever. It's called Gulag USA, Concentration Camps in America. Gulag USA. Now, a lot of people say, Tex, that's almost impossible. Surely the American government would not fund concentration camps. Well, that's one of the secrets I want to tell you about today. You see, according to SF, that's SanFranciscoGate.com, SFGate.com, and this was, by the way, in the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper, a congressman, a former congressman, Dan Hamburg, that's H-A-M-B-U-R-G, and Louis Seiler, who is president of an organization called Voice of the Environment, wrote an article. This is dated February the 4th, 2008. The name of the article is Rule by Fear or Rule by Law? And they discuss the fact. Now, remember, this is a former congressman, and this is in a major newspaper, which I'm just amazed how they were able to get this by the censors of the Illuminati propaganda squad. I wonder if they don't want to actually start coming out now and telling you what they're going to do. There is a certain method to their madness. You see, according to the Jewish Talmud and the Kabbalah, if you tell a person in advance what you're going to do and they do not object, then you are not guilty of the crime against them. If you tell a man, I'm going to rob you, and he does nothing to prevent it, and you do go on to rob him, you cannot be held guilty by God. You gave him every notice. He had every right to prevent the crime from occurring, from being perpetrated, but he did nothing. Therefore, he himself is an accomplice in his own victimhood, and you are absolved of all guilt. If they tell you what they're going to do and you do nothing to prevent it, they are not guilty. Now, of course, this is not in the Bible. It has nothing to do with our Lord Jesus Christ, but this is the sickness of the psychopaths who wrote the traditions of men. Remember, that's what Jesus called the laws of the Jews, the traditions of men. Now, according to this article, and again, I believe this was planted on purpose. They're telling you what they're going to do. A former congressman named Dan Hamburg and a man named Louis Seiler, they're telling you what they're going to do. And this was printed in one of the most liberal newspapers in the country. Here's what they say. Quote, since 9/11, and seemingly without the notice of most Americans, the federal government has assumed the authority to institute martial law, arrest a wide swath of dissidents, citizens, and non-citizens alike, and detain people without legal or constitutional recourse in the event of, quote, an emergency influx of immigrants in the U.S., or to, quote, support the rapid development of new programs. Here's what they're telling you now. The federal government has the right, they say, has assumed the right and the authority to institute martial law and arrest people and take them away to concentration camps in the event of what the government calls, quote, first, an emergency influx of immigrants in the United States. Well, isn't there already an emergency influx of immigrants in the United States? Of course, there's an illegal alien immigration invasion going on, right? There it is. They're already telling us there's 12 to 14 million illegals, and they don't intend to deport them. But that's not true. According to Baron Stearns, one of the top Wall Street firms, they did a complete two-year study of the illegal immigrant problem, and they said there's 25 to 30 million illegal aliens in America. Some people say there could be as many as 40 to 50 million illegals right this minute. Now, that's an emergency. And they're going to have to set up detention and concentration camps. And you know, if they take away some citizens by accident, like even if your name is Smith and Jones, and they come and take you away, well, things happen. They're trying to protect America. Now, the second reason that they can take you away, anybody, citizen or non-citizen, according to Congressman Dan Hamburg and Lewis Seiler in the San Francisco Chronicle, sfgate.com, by the way, February 4th, 2008. The second reason they can do this is, quote, to support the rapid development of new programs. What does that mean? They come and get you at night. They wake you up and say, sir, we have been ordered to pick you up and take you away. Where am I going? Don't ask. Just come with us. Don't take anything. But wait, you can't do that. Yes, we can. Why? Because of the rapid development of new programs. Yeah, it's called the rapid development of the new concentration camp program. That's incredible, isn't it? Oh, boy. They go on to say in this article, beginning in 1999, the government entered into a series of contracts with Halliburton subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root to build detention camps at undisclosed locations within the United States. Isn't that interesting? Now, friends, we've already reported that right here on this program. Halliburton, one of their subsidiaries, remember Halliburton? Their subsidiary, KBR, Kellogg Brand and Root, has been building detention camps. In fact, I think there was a $465 million contract at one point by the Bush administration. Michael Chertoff, the Jewish tyrant who runs the Homeland Security Department. Now, it says the government, now you won't believe this. You won't believe this. This was in the San Francisco Chronicle. This is by a former congressman. He says, listen to this. The government has also contracted with several companies to build thousands of rail cars, some reportedly equipped with shackles, ostensibly to transport detainees. Shackles in rail cars, and extraordinary renditions, they pick you up and take you away to support the rapid development of new programs, or because of an emergency influx of immigrants in the United States, which they caused and desired. And by the way, all of this, according to this article, according to Mr. Lewis Seiler and Congressman Dan Hamburg in this article, this is part of a Homeland Security plan titled, get this, Endgame. Endgame. But wait, isn't that the name of the video? The DVD? The very one that we're offering to you in this ministry, Power of Prophecy? It's on our webpage, powerofprophecy.com. It's the DVD, 134-minute video by Alex Jones called Endgame, in which he says they want to take you away to concentration camps and kill you. And he calls it Endgame, the Endgame. And now they're confirming this in this article that there is a plan by the Homeland Security Department, and its title is Endgame. And listen, it says, it sets at, this is in the newspaper now, it sets as its goal, this Endgame Homeland Security Plan, sets as its goal the removal of, quote, all removable aliens and, quote, potential terrorists. Now, I want to ask you a question, friend. Are you a removable alien? You say, well, no, I'm not an alien at all. Well, then, maybe you're in the other category. Are you a potential terrorist? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Why, the very fact that you're listening to this radio program, The very fact that you may be one of the few that still believe in the Constitution. You might have even voted for Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, who believes in the Constitution. You might believe in the right to keep and bear arms, or the right to free speech, or the right to assemble peacefully, to petition your government, to go to the church of your choice, to believe like you want to believe. Any of those things could make you a potential terrorist. Have you ever expressed dissatisfaction with the U.S. government or the Internal Revenue Service? Well, you might want to bomb them. You might want to. I'm not saying it, but there's potential. There's potential there. A neighbor heard you criticize the IRS or Homeland Security or the federal government or Congress. A recent poll was taken, a survey, and it found that only 7% of Americans believe Congress is doing a good job. That's 93% that are dissatisfied with their federal government and its Congress. 93% are potential terrorists. The government can take any of these 93% it wants at any time, and they're justified to support the rapid development of a new program. The concentration camp program. Oh, my. And according to Congressman Hamburg and Mr. Seiler, Section 1042 of the 2007 National Defense Authorization Act, you didn't know about that. Oh, yes, they passed another act. You've heard of the Patriot Act. Well, this was the National Defense Authorization Act. Section 1042 was passed last year. It says, quote, use of the armed forces and major public emergencies. The chief executive of the United States has the power to invoke martial law. Now, before they had a law called the Posse Comitatus Act. And that act, which goes all the way back, I think, about 50 years. It's been around. It was around 50 years. It said that the government of the United States may not use the military branches of the U.S. government to put down any domestic, you know, insurgencies and all this kind of stuff, and to take you away to things like concentration camps. You know, there was controversy over the fact that that Fort Hood, the U.S. Army post in Texas out near Waco, had trained the BTAF, the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms, and the FBI on how to attack the Waco compound. They did the training. They had the training at Fort Hood. That was a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. Of course, the Clintons did whatever they wanted to do, and they said, we don't care about any act. We're going to do what we want to do. But you know, that was a little bit of an impediment. They had to go around a legislative act to kill all those people at Waco and to train their paid killers at Fort Hood. They were asked questions. They didn't like it. So Bush says, why should we be asked questions? Why should our citizens ask us these embarrassing questions, like what really happened at 9/11? We're not going to tolerate that anymore. So now they've got the National Defense Authorization Act, Section 1042, and it says, by golly, the United States, the President of the United States, can use the military forces in America to do anything it wants to if there's an emergency that he thinks it's necessary. And I'm telling you right now, friends, arresting you as a potential terrorist, that's an emergency. So when the Army pulls up outside your house with a great big truck or a Humvee and says, get in, boy, we're taking you away, don't holler something about a Posse Comitatus Act. It doesn't exist anymore. It was voided by the National Defense Authorization Act. Congressman Hamburg and Mr. Seiler in this article say, quote, for the first time in more than a century, the president is now authorized to use the military in response to, quote, a natural disaster, a disease outbreak, a terrorist attack, or, quote, any other condition in which the president determines that domestic violence has occurred to the extent that state officials cannot maintain public order. Oh, my. Well, and then there's the Military Commissions Act of 2006, which allows the government to have secret trials. Did you just get that? Secret trials for citizens who might have committed domestic terrorist acts. Okay, let's keep on with our secrets here. Boy, we've got a lot of stuff for you today. Talk about a psychopathic society. Dieter sent me an email. It's very interesting. He says, Satan's work is spreading, Tex. Talk about psychopaths. Now listen to what he says here. This is interesting. He says, Dear Tex, I've been a longtime fan of yours, so I consider myself somewhat informed. I loved your book, Codex Magica. Well, thank you, Dieter. Dieter goes on to say, Well, this past weekend, I took a skiing vacation in the local mountains outside Los Angeles at Big Bear. By now, it came as no real surprise when I visited the resort, Bear Mountain, which is the biggest ski resort in the local mountains. It is surrounded by million-dollar-plus houses. I was met by a scene that could have come straight out of Mad Max or out of hell. You see, Tex, this resort is popular with snowboarders, so the typical satanic heavy metal music was blaring, and the crowd was adorned with apparel covered with skull and bones, demonic images, images of Egyptian gods, and even the Eye of Horus. In fact, not only the clothing, but all of their equipment, their ski equipment, had occultic symbols and symbols of death. Can all the manufacturers be printing these images on products while being totally oblivious to the meaning? What kind of psychopaths would buy such filth? It didn't end there. Many of the males had shaved heads, and others had satanic symbols via tattoos and body piercing. What is wrong with these people? It's like I've entered the ninth circle of hell. And when the day was finished, these degenerate people all left in $70,000 to $90,000 SUVs. It's all around us, what the Bible has prophesied. And I'm glad that you're spreading the word, because I don't know what to think. Dieter goes on to say, I have felt like a foreigner in my own country for a long time now. And it seems it's just getting worse. And now, today, our entire sky is crisscrossed with chemtrails. God help us and God bless America. Well, listen to the next one, Dieter. Got a book recently and I was reading it. And I had to read this page two or three times. The book is called Turning the Hiram Key. It's written by a Freemason. I'm not going to tell you his name. It's, you know, if you're that interested, call your library or go online. Turning the Hiram Key is the name of the book. And I was reading along and he says something here. You have to follow it very close and listen to what he says. He says, human cultural change is a distinct process operating under radically different principles that allow for the strong possibility of a driven trend to what we may legitimately call technological progress, end quote. Now, those are all big, fancy words, but let me give you a glint of what he's saying. He's basically saying our culture changes radically, and it's not by accident. It is a driven trend. Our culture is changing because it's been planned to do so. It's being driven. And we may just call this change technological progress. Well, you may want to know what he's talking about there. What kind of radical cultural change that is being driven is he talking about? Well, listen to this. He says the next time... And he says this to Masons. This is the Freemasons. The next time you watch a Masonic candidate prepared for initiation in our lodge in the ancient Norse way as a sacrifice, a human sacrifice to the threefold goddess of Trondheim, ponder on how lucky the Masonic craft is to have preserved a strand of this ancient wisdom. Our initiation myths, he says, have been honed over thousands of years. By maintaining and practicing our ritual, you can benefit your own harmony of mind and preserve this great gift for future generations. In other words, the next time you as a Mason are in the lodge and you're watching the candidate, the person being initiated, prepare in the ancient Norse way as a human sacrifice to the goddess, consider how lucky it is that we have preserved this strand of the ancient wisdom. Oh boy. Well, here's an ancient wisdom thing that's occurring in New York City today. You know what? One of the things that was very prominent in Greek, Roman, even ancient Judaic society, homosexuality. Homosexuality. Well, December 3, 2007, city officials for the first time are specifically targeting gay and lesbian travelers to meet Mayor Bloomberg's goals of drawing 50 million visitors to the Big Apple by 2015. And New York City has taken out a three-page ad in the December and January issue of Out, a popular gay and lesbian magazine. And they're paying $30 million to attract the gays with their ads, which state, this is New York City, and they're going to show all kind of gays and, you know, kissing each other and smooching and playing, you know, little games of certain kinds. These will be ads in international magazines attracting foreign visitors. The themes will be gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. And get this, advertising will especially be stepped up next year around Valentine's Day. Thank you, Mayor Bloomberg. So Valentine's Day, look out, all of you homosexuals and lesbians, because there will be ads inviting you to the Big Apple. Take a bite, just like Adam and Eve did. Lucifer says, bite into it, baby. And they did. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, Daryl Bradford Smith, who has a pretty interesting radio show over from France called The French Connection, sent me a newsletter recently. It's pretty interesting. He says, remember this, all mind-controlled shooters commit suicide before authorities can arrest them. Hey, isn't that what happened in that Illinois University recently? The guy goes in there and shoots 20-some-odd students, and he turns around and shoots himself before we can find out who programmed his mind, this Manchurian candidate. And then remember the nut over in Virginia? He goes around and shoots everybody in that building, and then he shoots himself. Lee Harvey Oswald obviously wasn't inclined to shoot himself, so they had to find a shooter to kill him, Jack Ruby. But these nuts, they're programmed and they're crazy, they're psychopaths, and they shoot themselves. Now, friends, psychopaths don't usually shoot themselves. Sometimes they do. But usually they're so selfish and hateful, they only want to kill other people. Well, here's somebody, I'm telling you right now, I know this is going to sound cruel of me, I prefer this person to come to know Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you about. But if they don't, I would sort of like them to take their own life. If they're not going to come to Christ, this person I'm going to tell you about, they may as well go on to be with the devil, because they're living with him right now today. I did say I would prefer for them to come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But let me just tell you about it. This is a news item from WorldNet Daily. March the 2nd. It's just too much. New Bible. Oh, they keep coming out with these new Bibles. Why do you... Don't you understand why we believe in the King James Bible? There's 1,000 new Bibles coming out today. We're going to stick with the tried and true. We're going to stick with the Bible by which missionaries went across the world and brought in millions of souls into the loving hands of Jesus, the King James. You can criticize me all day. I'm not going to change. We will not change. We're going to stay the old-fashioned way. I remember talking to Madeline Murray O'Hare. She said I was stupid. Madeline Murray O'Hare, remember, she ran the American Atheist Foundation right here in Austin. She and I had a nice little talk. She said I was a stupid man. How can you, a former Air Force officer, a University of Texas professor, be so stupid as to believe in God? That was her question to me. And you know, friends, the Bible says whatever you sow, you reap. Do you know what happened to Madeline Murray O'Hare? She hired hateful ex-cons to work for her. Ex-cons. They were atheists. That's good. Come work for us. They ended up kidnapping her, abducting her and her daughter and her son. They took the three of them. They stole all their gold and everything they had stored and hid away in their home. And then they shot them in the back of the head, cut them up into little pieces and buried them. All the pieces of their bodies haven't been found to this day. Madeline Murray O'Hare. I asked her then, I said, Madeline, will you ever change? Is it possible that someday you will believe the truth about Jesus? No, she said. But it's interesting, at that moment when I asked her that question, she hesitated. I was nice about it. Will you ever change? Is it possible that Jesus Christ can come into your life? And you know, there was a pause. And until that moment, she had been very hateful to me in our interview. And suddenly, she was very quiet. And she simply said, no, I've changed many things, but I don't believe I'm going to change on what I believe about God. I don't believe He exists. But there was no hate. It was almost as if it was a certain kind of sadness in her voice. When I left that interview, I told my wife, Wanda, I said, you know, I feel sorry for this woman. She says, why? Why do you feel sorry? Look at the great harm she's done to America. I said, no, I have pity for her. I don't know why, but God filled my heart. And I have, for Madeline Murray O'Hare, maybe God knew what was going to happen. Obviously, He did. Well, a woman in Bronx, New York, named Ruth Rim, has now funded a new Bible, and the new Bible says Christ was born of a gorilla, not a virgin. There's a Bible out. It supports Darwin's theory of evolution, and it says Jesus was born not to a virgin, but to a gorilla. It's called The Lost Spiritual World. It's a new Bible. And just like Madeline Murray O'Hare, I feel so sorry for Miss Ruth Rim. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've had a volume of secrets today. I pray, dear friends, you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.